When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What's this gonna be?
Moneyline.
No! Are you kidding me?
With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win 7 games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
New week, new money, the best hour of your day now officially underway. It is Moneyline. It's Donnie. It's Kevin. We're ready to get this weekend rolling. Big doings. Why? Because we have more time to talk NBA, because there is a game 5. We have more time to talk NHL. There is a game number 5 and a lot of other stuff across the board, which does include Father's Day yesterday, the tradition, Kevin, of the U.S. Open on Father's Day Sunday. It did not disappoint. Now, let me say this. If you ever want to have a no-sweat bet, take Bryson DeChambeau, top 20, right? The only problem is he won the tournament. So as much as I love that pick, man, I could have went for the gusto. But having said that, Kevin, there's no doubt in my mind, if I had the $100 on DeChambeau to win, that baby was getting cashed out. Straight up, I'm just being honest.
Well, yeah, that's how you'd prefer to bet, and also rightfully so. Look, I am trying not to come off like a sore loser, a sour grapes kind of guy. Mm. But yesterday's golf tournament was a unique one where I know Bryson, I mean, his finish was great, Donnie. I understand all that. He's not the story for me. Mm. Rory with a one-of-one collapse. I know Rory has had his struggles closing the door at these major events. I'm well aware of it. His first putt missed all year of 3 feet or less comes on 16, and he does it again on 18. I mean, Rory should have won that tournament a minimum. At minimum, it should have been a playoff. And I ended up betting Rory on Saturday, and I could have, if I wanted, Donnie, a number of times hedged on Bryson. I could have hedged on Bryson before Sunday even started. Yeah. And I fully believe that Rory McIlroy was going to win that tournament. Got up to around minus 500 live. And, you know, it was one of those things. Now, it's different, right? Because if you would have had a $100 odds boost Bryson outright, Donnie, you would have been getting paid back probably close to $2,500, right?
Yes, correct.
I wasn't in the mix to make that much money on Rory, which was part of the no hedge. But also, it just... it was his tournament to win, and it ended up being the tournament he lost. And again, I know probably I'm not giving enough credit to Bryson, but he capitalized, Donnie, on an all-time choke job.
Yeah, he also, I thought one of the more key pivotal shots, obviously, the 55-yard
shot out of the bunker was outrageous to get up and down from that spot with how much was on the line. That was phenomenal. That's a rare breed that can do that. But if you remember, he immediately goes down two shots, pulls up to that short par four, and knocks it on the green, and then just missed the eagle putt, and then tapped in for birdie, which gave him back that one, like, okay, let me decompress. Because his driver was terrible on Sunday. Let's just say he goes for that green again, misses it wild, and pars that hole. It's over. It's like, it's over right there. So I do give him a little bit of credit for that, but that final hole, it's so crazy how it just winds up. And by the way, I think I like the way the U.S. Open set up this week, because you could actually hit your driver wherever you wanted to. And it was almost like Russian roulette, Kevin, if it got stuck in which wiregrass pile. Because typically the U.S. Open is, if you miss the fairway, that's a triple bogey. Like, you know what I mean? Like, hey, look, this one guy only hits the ball 230 dead straight. Yeah, he's going to win the U.S. Open because every big driver is knocking it off of the fairway. I sort of love the test that I saw yesterday. It was great. Now, you know me, and even on the morning show, I had to bring it up multiple times. I don't understand this, Kev. This is the equivalent to Super Bowl final knee celebration with 30 seconds to go when you're up, let's just say, two touchdowns. The other team has two timeouts, Kevin, calls those two timeouts at the end of the game. And the fans are like, what? Like, we're booing. Yesterday, right, when I saw Pavone put that marker down as if he wasn't going to putt that final putt when he had no chance to win the U.S. Open, and the crowd let him have it, I felt like I was right there with him. Like, sensational. These fans absolutely get it. Kevin, how was he able to not just tap that in and let Bryson have his moment all by himself? I don't think I've ever seen anything like that in my life in a major.
Yeah, A hand up. I didn't kind of see the Pavone thing. The Rory miss was enough disgust that I needed from that tournament, quite frankly, Donnie. I saw you tweeting about it, which, honestly, and this is just... I saw the tweet. I didn't know the situation. I go, this is the best. Yep. Of course, this tournament, Donnie found something completely different to obsess over.
Yes.
The thing that I obsessed over this week, Donnie, was Scottie Scheffler. And from a number of angles, truly. I mean, one, the fact that basically this was labeled his tournament, and it's the worst performance he's had in quite some time. You pair that with the fact that the books, Donnie, on Saturday, he's like five over, and he's like minus 140 for a top 20. The books are like, you will get zero good numbers on this guy. We do not care. And I cannot believe he did not have a single good day on that course. I know it was a hard course, Donnie, but still, that was stunning.
He was off from like the very first shot. They're just like, oh, maybe he's trying to wind himself around. But I always like that, you know, because sometimes you see a look at like Tiger Woods in the past. Like, yeah, Tiger's played this course 37 times. Like, okay. Like, he knows what the deal is. But I always like when I hear, like, hey, man, it's my first time ever on property here. Just got here, teed it up on Tuesday. We'll see what we got. I'm like, that's kind of interesting. But again, he's one of the best players in the world. Give him a couple practice rounds. He'll get it together. He never got it together. And it's so funny. Like, we're breaking down the Open this morning, or should I say, recapping it of what happened. I don't think Scottie Scheffler's name even came up when that's all we would talk about nonstop is, this guy's unbeatable. And you're right. There was never a, ooh, Scotty's got him. Scotty's got him now. He's charging up the leaderboard. I was actually shocked he made the cut because of how much the cut changed midway through the day on Friday till the end of the day. I'm like, oh, wow, he did make it to the weekend. And again, not thinking he would win anything, but he never even entered into the conversation as somebody that you would even want to talk about. Now, number two, you're right. Choking down the stretch for Rory McIlroy. You're up two. All you basically have to do is say, all right, hit my driver in the fairway, play to the middle of the green, two putt these, I'm a champion. It's been a long time, 3,000 plus days since my last major. Yeah. And the fact that he had so many issues, just putting, he hit that terrible shot into the par three that rolled over the back of the green. I'm like, boy, oh boy, when you talk about, you know, getting the yips, that certainly was. Because even, like, even on 18, like, hey, Rory can drive the ball. Rory puts that ball in the fairway. He wins. He put it in the wiregrass.
But that's kind of the thing, Donnie, where I'm trying to be cognizant that golf in general is a very tough spot. There's a bunch of areas in which you can mess up. But I don't care about a bad drive or a Donnie, like the bad drive, and then he kind of left it short, right, when he was trying on 18 a little bit too. Like, that wasn't a great shot overall.
No, he was behind the great. Like, sometimes you get lucky with that, and it's like, oh, I hit it. But, like, ooh, that's a good miss right there. I'm like, we'll see if he gets up and down.
But like, the two misses that he had, Donnie, are the only two of the entire season from that range, and they happened on two of the final three holes in a major championship that he was leading in. Listen, a lot of people are talking about how they feel bad for Rory. I'm not crazy. Of course, it's hard not to feel bad for the guy, because I have no reason to hate Rory McIlroy. Money lost, it doesn't matter, right? The fact that he left right away, 100%. Quite honestly, the idea that he should have spoke to media is insane. That's one of the worst moments of that guy's life. No, Don, he'll talk to them at the Travelers, right? And not a second earlier. So truly not. But he choked. There is no other. It's not a bad drive. Forget the drive. The two easiest misses he had all year long came on two of the final three holes at a major championship he was leading.
Look, Amanda Baleonis is doing the post-game interviews. He's answering questions. I mean, enough said here. Leaving it early. I want to hear how you messed up, and I want to hear how you're going to make yourself better. Come on, Rory. It's been a decade, brother. We'll be back. A lot more hot topics to hit right here on a Monday edition of Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Games yesterday, and I got wind of, whoa, social media's up on my desk. Saw a big foul on Caitlin Clark. Had no idea the game was going on. Kevin, I tuned it in and watched the rest of it. I watched a good quarter and a half and enjoyed myself watching that. Something I never in a million years would have done unless it was a Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese game. They won the basketball game. They're now technically in the playoffs if the season ended today at the eighth overall seed of 12 teams. But I got to admit, there is something too. I understand, we get good basketball players into the league every year in the NBA. But sometimes you say to yourself, okay, it was just staunch, barely moving WNBA for years and years and years and years. And they say they're still losing money, but maybe that changed in the future. But I've never seen, a rookie class come in and just encapsulate the entire league like, this is our league now. Like Bird and Magic, 1980. Oh man, we don't know if the NBA is going to survive. Two young superstars come in and carry it through the 80s, hand the torch off to Jordan, who hands it off to Kobe Bryant, to LeBron James. You need that. And I can't believe that. I'm watching on a Sunday afternoon Father's Day. You know what? I want to watch this last quarter and a half of a women's basketball game. It just goes to show you how this league, I don't know, number one, how it survived in the past, because I never paid attention to that. All of a sudden, if the game is on, I'll watch it. It's crazy how it's turned, it's tied this year.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark is a game-changing superstar who commands a ton of attention. And Angel Reese, at the moment, is kind of the big juxtaposition. There's kind of these debates of Angel claiming to be as big a star. Is that what she's saying? It's very odd to watch what is very much this politicization. Hopefully I'm saying that close to correct. Yeah, you guys know what I'm trying to say. Of the sport. It's a very odd thing, ultimately, DRS. But it is a game that is a part of the conversation a lot more now, no doubt about it. Now, I'll say this. Because there have been times, some of the conversations around Caitlin Clark, there are people who are kind of lying to themselves there, there's nothing there. What do you mean these girls don't like her? That's silly. There is something to that. In this instance, though, Donnie, that was someone, if anyone who's played basketball, who was overexcited to block a shot, swung recklessly, and clipped Caitlin in the head. There was absolutely no malicious intent behind that foul from Angel Reese. I refuse to accept any idea that there was. Now, it's a weird thing, though. See, Donnie, because you are always interested in kind of the coverage and things of these leagues, right? Is it ultimately a good or bad thing that the conversation today will have people discussing WNBA, but it will just be, hey, did Angel Reese mean to foul her that hard?
Yes, I think it's a good thing.
Good
Yes, for the WNBA, it's great because at least they're getting on a multitude of channels and viral and people wanting to check it out. I'll tell you what else is good for the league, too, is because you have somebody like Caitlin Clark, who is the superstar, who continues to take the high road, but the people coming after her continue to throw gas on the fire. I love it. Like, that's what a rivalry is supposed to be. Like, never even given an inch. Like, you see every interview with Caitlin Clark. Hey, what were you thinking on that, you know, foul? She could have very easily riled up that public by going, like, you guys see it. Like, this is unbelievable what they're doing to me in the league, and it would set the league on fire. And she just goes, that's foul. I'll get up there. The only thing I was worried about was making two free throws there. When Angel Reese then takes the mic and goes, yeah, there's different set of rules all over the place. I mean, she almost said, I didn't foul her at all at this point, right? Which I love the rivalry angle of it. It's why we're talking about it, because quite frankly, if Caitlin Clark comes in the league and they all love her and it's kumbaya, I got to tell you right now, I don't know if I'm watching as much as I do now. But the fact of the matter is that we have like a constant tension and rivalry. I love it.
People like rivalries. What I will say is, yeah, if she was coming into the league and there was no back and forth and she was also not playing great, well, then it's hard to be super bought in. The thing is, she's about to start playing better and better and better. And that's very evident because she's adapting, right? That's what's happening. And her rookie curve won't be as big as everyone else's because, again, she's very clearly the best rookie from the class with a ton of distance. But it's a very interesting thing. I think the one thing I'll say, though, is there are certain people who, like, want to be a friend, if you will, Nani, to the sport, who don't really know how to do that, which is a very odd thing. Like, whatever to call it out by name, but, like, Stephen A., who, like, is now doing very much, like, it's a very bizarre thing that's kind of going on.
He's running backwards right now. He's running backwards.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm working out, but I don't really know if I'm doing this correctly here. That's what he's doing with the WNBA.
I don't really know. His angle on a lot of things has been very puzzling. The LeBron stuff now is puzzling that he's doing, of like the optics of a Darvin Ham podcast. But the idea that he's like, oh, I'm going to help. I'm a big reason this league is growing, and then he's going to be on like Angel Reese should be suspended for 5 weeks is like, why don't. Like, here's what I think is unfortunate, Donnie. None of that conversation will be about the fact that what you led with, they're in the playoffs now. Yeah. You know, if everything holds, now that they're not playing the best teams every single game they step onto the court, which was just an insane schedule to begin things, right? This is a team, Donnie, that very much so makes the playoffs. That is so big for this league if Caitlin Clark is in their postseason. Monster! Because that will have people tuned in. And I'd like to believe a round one matchup with the New York Liberty or the Connecticut Sun will have more basketball conversations than kind of some of the current tone of things right now around the league.
Yeah, no, tough scene all the way around there. Caitlin Clark is the superstar. By the way, Matt Leinart out there was saying that she should be suspended for five games or five weeks.
Lost.
Correct me. Here's the tweet that should have went out. Angel Reese reminds me a lot of Reggie Bush. Two losers that blew up our teams here and can't be accepted. That would have been a tweet that I would have retweeted, Kevin. We'll be back right here on a Monday afternoon right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, we are up, absolutely. Now, NBA is going to play tonight. We'll get to that in just a moment. It's always a shorter segment right here. NHL, Kevin, 8-1 in game number 4. Love to see it. And let me preface this by saying this. I had a good weekend. Not a great weekend. I had a solid weekend in gambling. Won some money. That's all you can ask for. Could have been bigger, absolutely. But I'm never, ever going to be like, hey, I got X amount of dollars on a Friday. I have a little bit more on a Monday. That's exactly what you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Now, the people out there, because I was feeling good. You know, on the weekend. I don't drink caffeine. I don't drink alcohol. So I do take every once in a a while. You know, take an edible while I'm home for the night, relax and enjoy it. And so I was getting on Twitter. I'm like, you know what? I'm about to cook something up for the people here, for the Edmonton Oilers, Florida Panthers game number 4. Mm-hmm. So sit back. I'm going to relax. I'm going to watch this. It's going to be a great night here.
Yeah.
Now, one thing led to another. Like, I didn't get to bed, and I wasn't even upset with it because I was watching some other baseball. I was like, well, this is going to be interesting. And just to lay this one out, like, I know myself, right? And I could be honest, like, which way I was going to bet. Like, that was 9 goals scored in that game. When typically, Kevin, mm-hmm. what I like to do, 50% odds boost on Bet365, take three, not even score goals, Kevin. Three people points. Just to get points. Yep. I'm telling you, I would have lost money on that game because I probably would have had, like, Barkov, Kachuk, yep. Terry, or, like, one of the big boys. Because it's usually for me, like, I'm going to always go Oilers because I just think if they can score three goals, like, Dreisaitl is going to be in on it. Connor McDavid's going to be in. And they were in a big way. But the fact that I didn't bet that game and saw 9, because typically, like, Kevin, you woke up 9 goals, like, oh my God, I could have bet all these guys to get 2. I could have probably hit a 50-1 parlay, and mm-hmm. I sat out like a dummy when I knew I should have bet it. I would have lost money on a game where I had players to get points in a game that had 9 total goals. That's insane.
Yeah, no, that was a really frustrating game because I have had a bet on the Panthers to score 2 or more goals in every game of the series. That lost
wow.
the game with 9 goals, right? And it was one of those things, Donnie, that I knew if they didn't get in the second period, it wasn't coming in the third period.
Yeah.
And that obviously held true. What was also a little frustrating, and look, it's mostly my fault because I need to just hold true to what I say, but I put together, Donnie, a parlay, not a big payout, on the top 4 guys on Edmonton for game 3 all to get a point. McDavid, mm-hmm. Dreisaitl, Bouchard, and Hyman, because that parlay has been a winning wager in their home games this season, right? Mm-hmm. The problem was the price got worse from game 3 to 4, right? Which is just, it's BS. Like, I'm sorry, but I'm getting a worse number. Nobody in the series is getting points other than Connor McDavid at this rate here.
Yeah.
So I didn't play it. And, I mean, it was an obvious winner, but, you know, they scored a billion goals. So I just left that game super frustrated. I have the Panthers to win the series. I have a piece of them to win it in 5. So I hope we're done with that series tomorrow and you know, see it at Edmonton at that rate there. I will say this, and I know I'm going to, it's not going to go this way, but McDavid should win the Conn Smythe pretty easily, too. Pretty easily. But he won't.
Yeah, Bob is the favorite after letting 5 goals in on 11 shots. The interesting part about these 2 finals, too, if you can correlate both of these series, mm-hmm. like sometimes you can still get a handle on stuff. I don't think in any way, shape, or form either Edmonton's going to come back from 0-3 and or the Dallas Mavericks. But I do mm-hmm. find, like, because typically it's like, hey, man, whew. Blood guts, man. We weren't giving up. 105-104 victory on our home court, man. We'll get to Boston. We'll see what happens. They snapped them in half by 40 points, which is so interesting to me.
Yeah.
And then you take a look at the NHL. It's like, okay, we can win the Stanley Cup tonight. Well, how'd it go? Damn. Double overtime loss. We were so close. Like, no, you didn't even show up and got waxed because the equivalent of a 40-point loss in the NBA, I think 8-1, Kevin's like a 70-point loss in the NBA. Like, that's how bad of a loss that was, which you just didn't expect it coming in. It's like, okay, we'll just flip that light switch again in game 5. It'll be fine. Now, it may be, but from a handicapping perspective, I find myself, like, saying, what do I expect out of it? Like, do I just expect Boston to be like, yeah, that game didn't mean anything. Now we're going to shatter bomb the Mavericks? Like, you can't just wipe that game out as if it never happened, can you?
It's a game that's going to trick people forever. Like, the next time anyone sees a 3-0 lead, they're like, oh, trust me, nobody ever shows up in game 4 when they're up 3-0. You know, it's just total insanity what we saw there from both teams, really. Like, the fact that it happened in both spots, Donnie, was super, super surprising there. But, yeah, for Boston, you know, I kind of sent, I've been mentioning this kind of all weekend, but I sent the tweet out that Boston hasn't lost back-to-back games. Both times they were coming off a loss, double-digit win, covered the number. And someone's like, yeah, they also haven't lost by 40 in these playoffs, so I don't know if it applies. And I'm like, you know, it's a fair point. It's a fair point. That was a very unique result that we saw in game number 4.
Hey, getting those vibes like game 1 of the NBA Finals. Like, all right, I think, I was like, wait a second, they've been off like 2 months apiece here. I don't have any idea what they're going to do in the first quarter. Gives those type of vibes. A lot more info on the NBA coming, and also your phone calls next. Don't go anywhere. It's Moneyline right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
They just keep delaying.
Rocking and rolling here. Well, I'm going to get to I don't even want to release this topic that I'm going to talk about next.
Whoa.
I do want to get to the phone
Secret.
Lines here. Yeah, because this is one that hit at a time where, you know, social media really wasn't popping over the weekend, and I had to take a little bit of time to decompress. I'll let you think about that. But let's get to the phone lines. Kristen Austin is ready to go post Father's Day weekend, where I know he hit Bryson DeChambeau. I saw the ticket, and he was putting it with the golf,
wow.
And he must have had a good weekend. Chris, what's up, man?
Yes, DRS, Kev, good afternoon, man. It was a good weekend, man.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I love you guys' conjecture about the tournament. I was on Bryson, of course, but I think Roy was making those long putts at the first nine, right? And I'm like, but Roy misses those short putts. Now, I know he hadn't missed any in like 496 this year, but if you look in the past in major events, major tournaments, he misses those short putts. I don't know why. That's why I don't bet him at major tournaments, man. I just don't. And I thought Bryson manned up at the end there and made that bunker shot. Man, you should have seen my nieces and I, right? We're in front of the TV. I just bought an 85-inch QLED.
Mm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. There you
amazing,
go.
Amazing. Hey, but DRS, you know, I want to talk about this WNBA thing because it's kind of bothering.
Yeah.
It's bothering. Caitlin Clark should be on the Olympic team. Period.
Yes.
End of story. I have never seen the best college player come out of any sport and get treated like this young lady is. I don't want to hear nothing about no racist. I don't want to hear nothing about no misogynist. The girl has the game. She's better than Angel Reese. Now, that was a hard foul. It was a hard foul. It is what it is. But her not being on the team, the hate and vitriol that this young lady is getting from her co-professionals in that league, it's ridiculous, man. And I don't understand how a person who brings that much audience, that much game, that much brand would be shunned.
Yeah.
One obvious reason, right? But it may be two. I'm going to leave it alone at that, bro. But what I will say, Caitlin Clark is being treated. Oh my God! It's hurtful for me being a black man. A black man seeing this little young white lady get treated like this, right? It bothers me, man. It bothers me. Because what did Tony Romo say? It's a metric. When what's his name took his place?
That meritocracy. Guy, yeah.
Said,
yep. Absolutely.
Yes! Come on, man. Doing that girl like that. And anyway, man, I guess we got to go with the Celtics tonight, right? 6.5. They have a lot on the road.
Feels like
April.
It.
April. I took the 6.5. It's up. If it gets to 211, I'll take the under. It's at 2.5 now. And I played the under 32.5 with Luka. I played the over rebounds with Lively. I played the over blocks with that Wofford guy for Dallas, and over half a block for Horford. So, looking for a good game, man. But I just want to stand up for Caitlin Clark on this, bro.
There you go.
The league needs to get their things together and embrace this girl. We're going to make them more money. Come on. Give me a
yes. It's all about the bottom line. See that? Chris, passionate down there in Austin, thank you. By the way, let's just say we put this in the Sports Grid ranks here. Like, Kevin was the only reason the Sports Grid Network could stay on the air. And your boy DRS is behind the scenes trying to get him fired constantly. Like, that's sort of the take here, because it's right. When it's all about everybody. Hey, by the way, I don't like Kevin at all. And they go, look, you're making your money because Kevin is here. I don't care. Fire that guy, and we'll see what happens behind the scenes. So, a lot of good takes there in between. But he did have a ticket on DeChambeau. Oh, I saw cash in, man. Which, again, I had $100, Kevin, that paid me back $242.
Yeah.
What could have been, man? But, again, I never get angry at that. And I'm telling you right now, I would have cashed out probably when that thing hit like $800. So, seeing the 25s
right,
or 3,000.
Right.
Before, Kevin, before Sunday's round even began, I would not have a ticket active in my pocket. I'm just being honest, probably.
Yeah, no. I which I think is actually a very healthy way to feel, because you know that. You know, it's like, I actually got to bring up something with that, too, about being honest with yourself. But I just want to add this one quick item on the Caitlin thing. And Chris is correct to bring up the financial growth of the game reasons to have her on that roster. I just want to say, those are not the only reasons that she would belong on the roster. Caitlin Clark's ceiling is still one of the highest of any women's basketball player in the world. You know, Caitlin Clark, if you look at it, Donnie, you know, 30-point games with a 60% true shooting percentage in the W this year, she's one of very few players that has multiple games that fit that spot. Like, the idea that she wouldn't be, I would say this, I expect her to be one of the 10 best players in the WNBA by the time we get to August, by the time we basically are at the Olympics. So I just think it's a little, again, I just think it's silly the way some people view those things. But what I was going to bring up about being honest with yourself, I placed a Derek Lively bet, Donnie, at 14-1 to lead the series in rebounds before the series. And I said, look, guys, I do think he's going to be in the mix. I think it'll be really hard to beat Luka or Tatum, but he's going to be in the mix, and you're going to get yourself a great hedge opportunity. So he's currently in the lead, Donnie. Right? But, like, actually by way more than I would have anticipated. And you're getting 6-1 on Luka or Tatum. Here's the additional caveat. They dropped his number to 200-1 after game one. I'm not going to overinflate. I had a $5 free bet, which pays back $1,000, right? So, Donnie, I bet a 14-1 telling myself I'll hedge if the chance comes. Yes. I now have a 200-1. I have to stop. I'm not going to hedge. I'm lying. I'm a liar. I'm not going to. He should lead this series in rebounds, Donnie. He's up five boards on Luka, six on Tatum.
Yeah.
There is no reason he doesn't leave this series as the series rebound leader.
Yeah. No, look, sometimes you got to ride it out. When you got what you feel like, even, he said, Don, you got to be kidding me. You got a three-shot lead going into Sunday. Let's just say, they probably would have said, all right, the chances of him winning are pretty high. So let's just say the payout was $2,500. They probably would have said, you know what, we're not giving you even half. We're going to give you like you get 1,000 back. That thing would have been cashed out so fast. I said, oh, I just made 10-1 on my money. Give me that. And I would have been smiling at the end of that match, like, oh my God, if I would have held on and DeChambeau isn't able to hit out of the wire and hits a terrible chip shot or a shot out of the sand. That would have really bothered him. But he still ended up winning there at that point. Now, I was teasing this, Kevin. T. Higgins signed his franchise tag for the Cincinnati Bengals. I can't believe that this happened over the weekend. And I say this by saying there's one thing where I always told you, the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, for the good or bad of that team, they've set the tone where we'd be more than happy for you to sit out and us not pay you and be just fine with it. So maybe we prove a point to the next person down the line that wants to do that. Even if it damages our team, it's better for business. I don't understand why he signed this, Kevin, in the middle of June. Because now he has no leverage whatsoever. He's got to show up, Kevin. And if he doesn't now, he gets fined. Mm-hmm. You don't sign that franchise tag, Kevin. You need to come. I think you have to report like 3 days before the season begins with no fines. Now if he does decide, like, you know, I'm going to sign it, I'm happy, and then gets angry when three more wideouts get $100+ million again, he can't even sit out or prove his point. That caught me so off guard because the landscape of the NFL, right? And it's the same, again, I joke about like, oh, what we do with the Sports Grid Network. Right, you sit right next to somebody that does the exact same thing as you, and you look to the left and go, he's making five times the amount of money I am, and I think I'm just as good as that guy. And then like, yeah, no problem, I'll sign that 1 year extension that pays me five times less than the guy next to me. I'm pretty baffled by this move. Unless we got one of those, look, sign that tag, get into camp, don't hold out, get your workouts in, we're going to move you to another team as soon as we get a first round pick. But why did he sign it? That's what I can't figure out.
I'll say, hold on, but I think you just hit on it. I saw that news, and it was so confusing that I just try and think back, Donnie, and sometimes those things where it's like, listen, this will help us get a deal done. We promise we're getting the deal done.
Yeah.
Just opt in. And now I'm not sold that he's on that roster week one. I'm not.
Man, we'll find out. It caught me so, like, I thought the T. Higgins story was he was getting traded. We'll talk about that more next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Apologies out there, people. Having some trouble with the phone lines right now, so hopefully we get those back up shortly and running again. Always love to hear from the people. By the way, Florida, 4 runs here in the top of the second inning. A sacrifice fly followed by a 3-run blast gives Florida a 4-1 lead against NC State, which, Kevin, is this a replay? Like, what is this? Where is this place taking place? What is this tournament I'm watching here?
Yeah, I can't believe you really now just have completely changed the College World Series for me. I don't know if you said this on air. I actually have not, but the fact that you've been apparently given a stick to Ben, yes, that it shouldn't be in Omaha, and now I can't think of that. That's why I just started laughing.
Yeah,
because I just started thinking about how upset Ben must be that you're saying this thing shouldn't be in Omaha.
Repeatedly telling that, I do it to him like I do to you. Like, I squeeze him out at the end of a break. Like, I'll hear that, like, 10 count, and I'll be like, I mean, Ben, we both agree that if this thing's out of Omaha, it's really big, and he just stumbles into break, really upset by it.
So it makes for great TV.
It makes for great radio at that point. By the way, we were talking Tee Higgins. Did you see some of the news popping up now, which is, this surprises me. Like, Brandon Ayuk is just about out of San Francisco from the
report. What was that?
Today.
Yeah, what is going on with Brandon Ayuk?
He's angry. Like, I get he's angry, and he wants a new contract, but this is one of those where every once in a while, like, the volcano bursts, and it's like, this guy's, just get me out of here. I can't be here. They don't want to pay me, but I can't think. Like, usually, Kevin, when you're on a team, let's just say, let's use the Carolina Panthers, right?
Hey,
man, I got a great player in Brian Burns. Like, dude, we're not paying you, because whether we pay you or not, we stink. So we end up moving you, and we'll deal with it. But teams that are on the cusp, like, we are going to win the Super Bowl next year if we just keep our players and we stay healthy. That's the Niners right now. Like, man, I don't know, man. You know, we're going to re-up our running back, and we're going to pay Debo the year before, but you're one of the best route runners in the league. I think we can move on from you right now, because we got Pearsall ready to rock, pal.
But what was is the clip, and shame on me for not watching it. I was like, oh, I'll get back to this, and I haven't watched it yet. But he's like on the phone with Jaden Daniels, and he's like, yeah, I'm out of here. Like,
yes.
Like, what? It leaked. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't even know what's going on here, pal.
Like, you would have got out of town. Like, that Brandon Ayuk could, like, help you out at this point. Like, get on every IG live you can possibly can. But they, like, this story is great. Like, how's this? Because this, you have, like, Debo is a very good wide receiver. Ayuk is young and a very good wide receiver. And the fact that it seems like the Niners, like, we got unlimited checks on the table for these guys, and somehow it never gets there and everybody gets angry. It's pretty great.
I have my question for you on T. Higgins, right? So, remember when Kirk Cousins played on the tag? And I think he played it on, like, twice, maybe, Donnie. And
he did, yeah. Yes.
And then, but he was, like, the first guy who was, like, willing to do it, and then everyone went, oh, my gosh. Like, he just broke the bank. Like, he just found the cheat code. Like, is there a world where the T. Higgins camp went, look, are you happy to play in Cincinnati this year? If yes, play on the tag. Trust me, we'll get all the money we need next year. Because Cincinnati will never be able to pay you anything less than, you know, $X million. Mm-hmm. And they probably won't. And we're just going to walk to whatever destination we want. Like, is there a chance, Donnie, that they said, hey, listen, there's sneaky value in playing it on that tag, and we're going to take advantage of it? Is that possible?
Theoretically, it makes sense, but it's a position player. Because when you say, like, bet on the quarterback, and let's also keep in mind, like, Kirk Cousins had a lot of money in his pocket before he even got to those, you know, 2-3 tags, whatever he got. Hey, what's, you know, I shop at Kohl's, I live in a normal house, I drive a van, and I got $60 million in my account. Like, whether or not I get hurt or not is going to be irrelevant the way I live my life. The reason I bring that up on T. Higgins is he's still on a rookie deal at this point. So he hasn't really made that money. Now, $20 million, most people, this is where it's so hard to compute. Donnie, it's going to make $22 million next year. I say, you don't understand. Like, let's just say Devonta Smith. What do you get? Like, $55 million guaranteed, whatever it was. He was at, like, the low end of the spectrum of the guys that just re-signed, but still got big money. So if next year he goes, you know what? I just tore my Achilles, talking about Devonta Smith. Thank God I got that $55 million guarantee. No matter what happens, that's my money. T. Higgins goes out next year and does that. Kevin, he has $20 million. And then is doing a one-year, $3 million look-see rehab contract with like the Carolina Panthers next offseason. That's why it's so much different. And when everybody in your position is getting paid, even like the organization, like how do you operate a Cincinnati going, I understand you can say, look, you guys negotiated this. The franchise tag is there for a reason. And then he should say, like, well, why is no other team using their franchise tag the way you are and paying everybody? Like, do you think I'm good? Yes. Have I ever been suspended? No. Do you want me in the future? Yes. Why aren't you paying me? Well, that's our choice to do that. That's why it's so tough of a pill to swallow and get so amped up when I see it, because I could care less about the Bengals, to be honest. Win or lose, they don't really affect us. Yes, I'll bet them, and I'll enjoy their games when they're on primetime. That's not what I'm talking about, but just the simple sense of he signed that contract over the weekend and basically gave away all his, even if it was fake, tough guy leverage, where maybe the Bengals, August 25th, go, maybe he's not going to show up, and the 49ers who just moved, I don't know, for a first-round pick, Brandon Ayuk, they got an extra one. They want to give it to T. Higgins, and they want to pay T. Higgins, like something like that, right? But the fact that he signed it, and now it's to report to everything, and is locked into that, basically, essentially. It's crazy.
But the more you think about it, right, Donnie, of T. Higgins probably has the worst leverage a player could have, because you're playing for an organization that literally doesn't care. Like, oh, you don't show up, we're fine. And everybody knows you're not the best wide receiver on the team. Like, one of the reasons you and I have been stunned on this scenario is paying T. Higgins doesn't seem actually like a viable option for this franchise, because they've already paid Joe Burrow and will have to pay Ja'Marr Chase, of course. You know, Chase is going to be a priority. So moving on from Higgins is the obvious next step anyway. Maybe we've kind of been banging the drum like, listen, man, you got to get out of there. And maybe he's come to terms with, there's nothing I can do. They literally don't care if I don't show up. They'll never pay me. I just have to take the tag. Like, it's a shame that I'm a Cincinnati Bengal, but there is nothing I can do. I don't know. And that's where your tweet of, like, what a terrible job out of the agent, right? Because it's like, how do I get put in this position? I'm too talented to be hopeless, but it does seem like a hopeless position that which he is in.
Now, how about this, too? Because showing up to the minicamp so he didn't get fined was Ja'Marr Chase. So, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, where that leaves Ja'Marr Chase, because he doesn't want to pay. Look, I'm eligible for an extension. I think I'm a top two wide receiver in the NFL, or the best out here. Yeah, you're going to wait. Now, you see what they're doing to T. Higgins? You're going to wait 3 years to get paid? Boy, that is a mess in Cincinnati, and quite frankly, did it to themselves. NBA Talk next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good spots in Major League Baseball tonight. Looking at the Phillies, chances to look at the Braves, Texas, and also Colorado has some players to hit on RBI props. I'll post that ticket later once I finalize it here. But the NBA is going to play game number 5 tonight in Boston. 6.5-point number, which was the last time I checked. I think it's still 6.5. Let's do a double check across the board. Yeah, 6.5 across the board to 10.5 across the board, which is up from 209.5, which I do like the under tonight. I always have that philosophy later in the series, taking the unders, and we just had a team score 122 points, and they went under in that game in game number 4. I expect a good game tonight, but if we're being honest, I'm confused about the side, but I do like the total. How are you playing this game tonight?
I'm struggling with this game quite a bit. I am really hoping Dallas wins, because I feel great about game 6. I think Boston will win that game. I have a bet already that involves Boston winning in 6. I will do the Joe Lisi double down. I will have an additional spread bet on Boston in a 6th game, but that doesn't help us tonight. Quite frankly, I find if you offered me even money, right, who wins this game, I'd take Boston.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'd rather be betting Dallas spread. I'm just not getting a good enough number at 6.5. You know, I think based on what we've seen from usual Celtic spreads, we should be getting 8.5, which is, you know, a number that the Mavericks have been inside. I know not one of those games was on their home floor, but still, they've been inside twice in this series. I am not as sold as you on the under. Maybe it never happens, Donnie, but the Boston Celtics have yet to hit an offensive ceiling. They haven't scored 110 points yet in this series. Mm-hmm. So if that team can get... Now, I know you're going to say Dallas just got to 122, but I'm kind of trying to figure out, did the Mavericks' offense finally show up to the party, Donnie? Because that offense should not be scoring 90 points in a basketball game. So
no, it shouldn't.
I'm tempted tonight at an over. Maybe I'll feel better about a team total. I'll see if I can get there in some capacity. But it's a game I'm struggling with. I will say the Luka rebounds assist numbers are the lowest we've seen really all postseason long. They're hanging that triple double again at over 5-1, which is pretty remarkable. So I think there's going to be some good prop shots there. What do you think about Tatum tonight, Donnie? You think he can get back, steal the finals MVP?
I love him.
What?
Yes. I would take him to go over 27.5 points and take him to win MVP. I really would. It's one of the more baffling markets. Sometimes you can look at lines like, that doesn't make any sense. This is up there in like my top 10 of all time. I don't understand the heavy favorite still on Jaylen Brown. Like, dude, you scored 10 last game. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, well, he's still the best. Like, I don't know. Is it just coming down to tonight? Like, who has more points? Is that what it's coming down to tonight? Because I do think it's going to be Tatum.
It will come down to tonight. If Boston's winning this basketball game and Tatum, you know, clearly outplays JB, I expect it to be Tatum. I 100% do. I already have a bet on Tatum pre-series. Now, not as good as the current number that is out there in the market. The unfortunate thing, Donnie, is Jason Tatum and that's before we get to all the times he's lost bets for me. He just has not inspired enough confidence that I'm going to double down on anything related to Tatum. I think he still wins finals MVP. I agree with your breakdown. If I didn't have a bet, I'd be considering getting there. I'm not betting him twice. He doesn't deserve my money twice. He hardly deserved it once.
Luka triple-double 5-1. Jason Tatum triple-double 13-1. And by the way, some Major League Baseball updates here. Obviously, Trey Turner has been activated from the IL. Yeah, it looks like he'll be back tonight. Johan Rojas optioned to AAA. Thank goodness, guy couldn't hit his way out of a paper bag. And quite frankly, he deserves to be in the minor leagues. We'll see where that goes. Also, Gerrit Cole, season debut Wednesday for the Yanks.
But just quickly, tell people, Nani, and me, really. What would you do with Trey Turner tonight? Just completely off the card?
He's off the card.
Okay.
Okay. Well, first of all, because you don't have any statistics back on like 30 days. If you just want to say, yeah, he's a really good player and I trust him, that's fine. But that's not really the way handicappers are supposed to bet, which is why sometimes it's so hard. Like, hey, just watch this guy come up from the minor league systems. He's really bad, but he only has one start. And it's like, well, wait a second. I just went 5 innings, gave up one hit. What happened here? Because you don't have there's no back testing there of that. So I leave him off. It's all, by the way, and also he's a right-handed batter, so it makes it easy. If he was a lefty, then I'd start to question it because you got a pitcher tonight who cannot get left-handed batters out. Schwarber and Harper are absolute musts on your card tonight. So with him not batting that way, even like David Dahl, you can even argue, should be on your card tonight. And also, 87, 88, 89 degrees, wind blowing out in Citizens Bank Park. Finally home after not being home for like a week and a half. They should be able to hit tonight in Citizens Bank. But I'm playing lefties as opposed to righties, which Trey Turner is.
Yeah, I circled the Phillies major. I just need to see the lineup and where guys are. The hits, runs, RBIs will all be 2.5. Is it? All right, let me get some eyes.
Schwarber, Turner, Harper, Bohm, Stock, Castellanos, Marsh, Dahl, and Marchand in the lineup tonight. How about that? Hot start to the week, boys. JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie right side, and Kevin Walsh. Thanks for tuning in to a Monday edition of Moneyline. Tomorrow's Tuesday. Yeah, we'll be right back in Adam. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell, and if you know my husband Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.